This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are here with Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team get intimate and go one-on-one on a particular gaming topic. My name is, of course, Elliot, and this week I am joined by Jack.
Hey.
How we doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm definitely not a Checkpoint member.
You're not.
Hey, oh.
But I didn't want to change my introduction just for this one show.
I'm not worth changing it. Okay, no. That's fair.
Look, you're definitely part of the Checkpoint family. You're one of us now.
The extended family.
Extended family, sure. Let's go with that. And this week on the show, we want to talk about speedrunning.
Yeah.
And you are one of the best people to talk about speedrunning with, because unlike a lot of my fellow fuddy-duddy Checkpoint members, you actually have been involved with some speedrunning.
Yeah, so kind of, I guess, my background was involved with a little bit of speedrunning on my own. So I'd done a few runs.
And what is speedrunning?
So speedrunning is basically just like taking any video game that you love or that you're good at, or that you enjoy, that people you know enjoy watching, and trying to complete that game to a standard that you might set or that a community might set as fast as possible. So it might be an any percent run, which is trying to get just to the end of the campaign, right?
Yep.
Or it could be a 100% run where you have to get all the collectibles. It could have some weird like things where it's like you need to have all of these things but not all of these other things. Like, speedrunning can be a web of a mess of a situation sometimes.
So the rules of any speedrun is very community driven.
Yeah, that's right. So a lot of it has been sort of brought together by a community. There have been sort of pioneers that have sort of brought together the community and shaped it in pretty significant ways. But at this point, I feel like it is very much just on the community. Yeah.
Yeah. So just getting from the start of the game to the finish of the game as quick as physically possible.
As fast as possible.
And a lot of the times using like exploits within the game, that stuff that shouldn't even exist,
yeah,
right?
So a lot of it can be, particularly if you're watching something like AGDQ or some games done quick, a speedrun marathon, a lot of those runs, because they've only got really like a week or so of airtime, they need to fit as many runs in as possible. A lot of the shorter runs depend on in-game exploits, not necessarily like external cheats, but being able to manipulate stuff like RNG or just sort of the wild card aspect of games.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to manipulate that, being able to manipulate enemy behaviors, a lot of that stuff is a big part of speedrunning, but then a lot of it also is just mechanically being really, really good at the game.
Like, oh, absolutely.
You kind of need to do both. If you want to really get to the top of what speedrunning is and what it can be, you need to be able to just sort of poke around a game and mess around with the game and like literally looking inside like game hex code files as they're being run through the system live. It's terrifying what people do in some cases to figure out how to crack the game and do it faster.
And what's so interesting is that like you think of professional gamers and you think these people who are competitive esports players, right? But there are professional gamers who are speedrunners.
Yeah.
And they're almost doing like this totally separate thing and doing like something that's just as skilled as the professional players, but it's just using a different format.
Yeah, exactly. It's as far as like what a professional gamer is, right? Like that's, I think it's more if you're playing games and you're being able to make a living off of it.
Yeah.
A lot of that is in this day and age, like Twitch streaming. Yeah, so you might be a Twitch partner, you'll have subscribers, you'll have people that tip you, you'll have Patreon. Like those kind of avenues really give people the opportunity to commit a lot of time and a lot of effort into these games. And it takes a remarkable amount of time and effort. Like one of the earliest sort of, one of those pioneers that I sort of said earlier, Cosmo Wright, they were hugely influential in shaping community organization that was responsible for creating AGDQ in the form that it is now. It's a terrifying amount of effort that needs to go into it.
Well, should we talk about AGDQ? Because it's come up a couple of times.
So
this is Awesome Games Done Quick.
Yes.
Which is a charity event stream that happens over in America. And they just get a whole bunch of like professional and the best speedrunners from around the world and entertainers. And they bring them in to do races where a bunch of people will compete against each other at the same time to beat a game. Or they'll just do speedruns where people are competing against like high scores that have already previously been set.
Yeah.
And this is like a week-long event.
It's terrifying.
And it's huge.
It's nonstop. So it's 24 hours a day for like the entire week that it's running. And it can be a lot to keep up with. Like when you go through the the list of games on the AGDQ website, it's terrifying. You're like, oh, I need to watch these games because I like this and this and this and this. And then you're like, oh, wait, that's at 3 a.m. in the morning because it's running in American time, obviously. But they do run through the entire night. But AGDQ is one of the few sort of marathons that happen within the community. AGDQ is one of them. That sort of happens towards the beginning of the year. Summer Games Done Quick is one that tends to happen around July in the year. But then on top of that, outside of the US, there's stuff like ESA, the European Speedrun Assembly. And that it's a very different sort of tone, different sort of vibe, because they don't necessarily have the same sort of resources that AGDQ has. And this has been a marathon that's been running for years now, probably north of 5 years, I feel. And because they've had such an opportunity to grow, they've had these offers come up for, you know, having equipment supplied, having, you know, like stream partners. And they've really been able to turn this broadcast that was very much underground to begin with into something that feels really, really professionally put together.
Yeah.
The speedrun community by itself can be a little bit of a hot mess sometimes, but AGDQ definitely doesn't let that on too much.
And it gets bigger and bigger every year, right? Because this year they actually managed to raise $2.262 million for charity.
So that was that's a big part of what AGDQ is. It's about sort of harnessing the community effort and putting it towards a good cause. And I think that's the one thing that I really, really appreciate the community for, in that we're able to come together and put all of this time and this effort towards something that really does matter. And so for this one, AGDQ was supporting, it was Doctors Without Borders?
No, it was supporting the Prevent Cancer Foundation.
So I think Doctors Without Borders is Summer Games Done Quick, but they tend to support these organizations that that really, really help people that need that assistance.
Yeah, absolutely. And the event only finished like 4 or 5 days ago, which is why we're kind of talking about speedrunning. It's been on my mind because I watched Awesome Games Done Quick. Well, obviously not 24/7.
Probably not, yeah.
But I like tuned into a lot of games that I thought would be really awesome to watch. For instance, I watched a Resident Evil 7 run through because I'm like, I love that game, but I'm not going to play it again. I'm not going to subject myself to that again, but I will watch it vicariously through somebody else.
Yes.
And it's just so interesting watching the way they move through the game, and they're like, well, you can skip entire sections if you do this. And it's like, yeah, I guess you could.
Those in-game exploits really come into play.
And I watched a Bloodborne run-through, which had one of the best commentaries I've ever seen. And the guy doing Bloodborne was just explaining everything to a T. And there were some amazing exploits you could watch, because in that game, like, platforming shouldn't be a thing in Bloodborne, but he managed to get exploits where you jump on a fence or jump over this certain area and land in these areas that you shouldn't have been able to get access to yet, and use that as a way to finish the game faster than any normal person ever could.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's another part of, like, the speedrunning experience is for viewer... Like, the viewer experience is a big part of it. As a speedrunner, if you're, you know, like, doing your typical sort of like few nights a week in your bedroom, doing those runs, like that's pretty typical as far as the community is concerned. But for viewers, if you're watching a marathon like AGDQ, SGDQ, ESA, those try to, like, runners have an opportunity to show off some of the really, really cool stuff that does not happen, that might not necessarily be brought up because, like, it technically shouldn't be possible, or that it doesn't necessarily fit into the realm of what a traditional speedrun is, which is, in the case of an 80%, just screw everything start to finish as fast as possible. And a lot of the weird stuff, if you see, like, runners finish a run short of what their estimate was, they'll actually, like, dedicate time to just screwing around and, like, showing the bizarre crap that you can get away with in some of these games, particularly some of the older games.
Yeah, because they know so much about these games, right? There are communities dedicated to speedrunning, and they will find these exploits, and they will find the ways to scrape down on these milliseconds of gameplay and share it with everybody so that the community as a whole can get better and better at speedrunning these games. And then they do crazy things like beat, like, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild in 12 minutes or whatever.
Well, a lot of the older games as well, like, stuff that goes back to sort of the days of early 3D gaming, right? Like Nintendo 64, PlayStation 1, less early PlayStation 2, but some of these games, because they've been around for so long and because the tools that we use to assess how they work have evolved so much, runners have gotten to the point where they are digging into, like, hex code. Like, there was a Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix run, and towards the end of that final boss, a lot of that exploiting that we were talking about earlier is linked to manipulating enemy behavior, because what the game dictates essentially locks what you can do in place. And so inevitably what you do is, oh, well, I mean, what if I just don't let the game do that? And, yeah. And seeing people like deep dive into, they've got like hex, like just examining game code as it's being run through is absolutely terrifying. And seeing these like half hour, 40 minute long, like analysis, people watching them analyze things. Words are great, guys. It's fine. Watching them pull this apart.
Words are your
like,
tool.
Oh, man. I'm radio gravy. That's what I'm here for. Seeing them pull it apart and put it back together in a really fantastic way is awesome.
Yeah, and it's like, if you think that maybe watching somebody do a speed run would be boring or just watching somebody play a video game, you are so incorrect. Oh, or yeah. At the very least, look up speed run races. Because yeah. They are some, like, there was some awesome commentary going on in them where it was basically like you were watching a sport. Because yeah. They were shouting and it was like down to the wire, and where these four dudes are all playing. I watched Ori and the Blind Forest doing a run through of that game. Ugh. And it was like, ugh, like,
man.
Yeah, it was really, really intense. Well, and I didn't know I'd be watching this for like 2 hours, but I did.
Well, I mean, you've got those competitive runs and then you've got other stuff like Taz. So, oh man, what's the... something assisted speed run, tool assisted speed run, where you'll have like essentially you'll hook a console up to like a computer, and there'd be points in previous, I'm not sure if you'd watch previous AGDQs as much, but there were earlier ones where it would get to a point where they literally were running Twitch chat through Pokemon Red on a Super Nintendo. Like, it got to that level of like, this is out of hand. This is out of control, guys. You guys have gone way too far.
And bring it back.
Yeah, maybe ease up. But in terms of more local stuff, like Australian Speedrun Marathon, ASM, that's been running for a few years now, and it's actually come to PAX twice now. Yep. So ASM is a yearly speedrun. That one's in Adelaide, and that's around July, sort of. Not quite the week-long marathon that AGDQ is, but that tends to sort of run around the 4 or 5 day mark. And it piggybacks off of AvCon, which is a PAX Supernova-like event in Adelaide. And so I've actually been involved with ASM specifically, involved with some of the technical side of things.
Mm-hmm.
When I walked in, there might have been a blue screen the first time. But
don't you love those blue screens?
Oh, man. Look, it's an operation. Like, but also, like, we have... ASM has access to the University of South Australia, and we have access to like proper TV studio equipment, and it's awesome working with those guys. But then coming to something like PAX, like if you're not necessarily based out of Adelaide, if you're not going to Adelaide that often, you go to PAX, and towards the community side of things, you've got stuff like board games, you've got stuff like what's some of the other weird stuff in on that side of the hall, like the free play PAX areas. Yeah,
because you've got the free play, you got your board games, and that's mostly it. And then just stalls and stuff.
Oh, yeah, retro gaming, all that. But then there's a dedicated space to ASM at PAX. Mm-hmm. And so you get to experience this stuff in the flesh. Like, you see the runners getting down to business. And truthfully, it can be ghetto as hell sometimes. Like, some of the setups that we're running, holy God. But it's awesome fun to actually go along to one of these marathons. If you're going to PAX, definitely head up to ASM.
Yeah. And have you ever done speedrunning yourself?
Yeah. So I was I got into speedrunning after AGDQ 2014, when I was like scrolling through Twitch. I'm like, why is there Fire Emblem here? Who's playing Fire Emblem on Game Boy Advance? Why is that happening? Why are there 300 people watching it? And after a while, I figured out that I really loved a lot of the PlayStation 1 games, because those games, while there are definitely exploits that happen, 100%, a lot of the more like 100% runs where you have to collect everything require such... so much planning beforehand and such a knowledge and mastery of the controls, which at face value, like if you've played Spyro or Crash Bandicoot, that stuff's pretty basic, right? Like you're moving with the D-pad and jumping and charging, and seeing speedrunners tap into those controls and just like push them to the limits. It's like, why do I glide faster against a wall? Who found that out? Why does that happen? And then some of the routing options as well. I started playing Spyro the Dragon, and I started speedrunning that the 120% category, which doesn't quite make sense.
I mean, I did study math. And...
yeah, that's not how that works, but collecting everything in the game takes you to in-game menus at 120%, and so I'm collecting everything, and I think I got down to about 2.5 hours I collected everything in the game at.
As somebody who's played the Spyro,
it takes
the
a
Dragon
while.
Games, like, yeah. It takes, like, I don't know how that's possible. Yeah.
it's more or less just figuring out where everything is, because I've been playing, like, older games. Like, I'm deeply in love with like PS1 and PS2 games. Going back and playing those games is something that I do, not super often, but you know, I might do that once or twice a year. And so having that knowledge beforehand of just like, I've got a basic idea of where things are, that helped a lot. And so I knocked down from 3.5 hours one month to 2.5 the next.
How many times do you think you've beaten Spyro the Dragon?
Oh, man. Do I want to know? Like 2 or 3 dozen times, probably.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. Look, it's a lot worse than Kingdom Hearts 2, right? Like, that's a much longer game. But yeah, the speedrunning that is actually really, really fun because you get to see people rock up to... It's a different vibe. Twitch streaming a game casually, just playing random games, talking like that. That personality focus is not taken away. It's sort of shifted more towards a focus on the game. And then like how that blends with your personality. And I think that that's really, really fascinating from a streamer's perspective. And then, you know, stuff like AGDQ and ASM just that's on steroids at that point.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? And I know you can't speak on behalf of the entire speedrunning community, but at least for yourself, like how much of a speedrun is... like following a recipe, like you know exactly the moment you're going to jump, you know the exact route you're going to take versus, you know, learning on the fly and just feeling like what you need to do in that moment.
It really depends from game to game. Like if you're playing a game that is already set out for you and for the most part, the controls are the same, the enemy behaviors are the same, you're going to have a pretty samey speed run. And that's not to say that things can't go wrong. Things always go wrong. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're actually showing a game off, whenever you're marathoning, everything's going to go wrong. So you always have to overestimate. But as far as like games like Kingdom Hearts, you know, like bosses can be a massive like throw a wrench in the works.
Yeah, because you don't know what their attack pattern
is. Yeah, well, I mean, at a certain point, You can't. Like, for the most part, you'll know, okay, the boss will do this and this and this if I do this. Like, if you work the combos out and work your behaviors out, you can manipulate the boss to an extent, but they will always, like, screw you up in some way. And so it really depends on what game and how much the speedrunner knows. But if they've been speedrunning for quite a while, if they're a veteran within the space, a lot of it will be just sort of them trying to make short on their mistakes, because there's always a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Well, Jack, thank you for coming in and sharing us your expertise on the speedrunning.
Expertise. Thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem. You guys have been listening to Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. Join us next week.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.